So Luke chapter 21, as we come into a more worshipful frame of mind. Luke chapter 21, just the first four verses. While Jesus was in the temple, he watched the rich people dropping their gifts in the collection box. Then a poor widow came by and dropped in two small coins. I tell you the truth, Jesus said, this poor widow gave more than all the rest of them. For they have given a tiny part of their surplus. But she, poor as she is, has given everything she has. May God bless us as we consider this today. I want to turn your attention to the scripture reading that that we shared earlier. And by way of a run-up to this, I wonder if some of the young ones and some of the older ones can help me with something. Can you tell me what I have here? £10. Are we all in agreement? This is looks like a £10 note. Okay. Now, what do I have here? So what does that make? And what do I have here? £30. And what do I have here? £40. And what do I have here? £50. How, that's quite a lot of money, isn't it? And what do I have here? And what do I have here? And here? And here? And here? What does that make? Yeah, in today's context, it makes a very expensive fan. A lot of money, huh? A lot of money. Now, tell me, which is of more value? How much did I have here? £100. Oh, let's see what I've got in my pocket here. What do I have here? Two 1-penny pieces. 2 pence or 100 quid. Which is of most value? 100 quid. If we're talking of just raw monetary value. We turn our attention to the scripture reading. We have this very short little story, and this sermon talk, it's in the next in our series. What is it that we're doing? I've been running a sequence with you, the Unsomething Worshipper. And today it is, there it is on the screen, the unnoticed worshipper. What does it mean to be an unnoticed worshipper? See, as I read that scripture to you and reading it before in preparation for this talk with you, I noticed that this woman, this widow, she brought in, do you know what she brought in? Can you remember it? Can you read it? It says, two coins. Interestingly, it's the only time in the New Testament that Hebrew money is referenced. All the rest of the time, it's Roman currency. Don't know that it has any specific relevance, but here we have some Hebrew money referenced. Just two little coins. And in looking up what the value of these two lepta would be in today's money, apparently it's worth about 6 minutes. Each one lepta is worth 6 minutes of a day's wage. Now, I won't go around the room and work out how much you earn in a day. That might be too imposing. But if we worked with the principle of just an hourly rate by way of minimum wage, from my looking up, it's for age 25 and over, that's £7.20 per hour. That's a minimum wage. That's not the living wage. The living wage is higher. I don't know why we have a minimum wage that's lower than a living wage. Anyway, that's politics. But £7.20. So if £7.20 is a minimum hourly rate for people 25 and over, I mean, it's less than that for my son started working at, but the under 18s, it's £4 an hour. Got quite a difference, £4 an hour, £7.20. But let's work with £7.20. 6 minutes is how much of a percentage of 1 hour? 6 minutes, 10%. 6 minutes, 60 minutes, it's 10%. So what is 10% of £7.20? Some Sabbath morning maths for everyone. 72p. So what does that mean? Roughly speaking, in today's money, one lepta, one of the two coins that this widow dropped into her offering, is worth how much? 72p. So that means two leptas is worth how much? Oh, that was a little bit more of a brain ache, wasn't it? Two lots of 72 comes to how much? 144 pennies. Oh, that sounds a bit of a theological coincidence, doesn't it? Anyway, let's leave that at there. Look, I have here £1.44. The equivalent, £1.44. This woman shuffles in, goes over to the money box, and tries to be unnoticed and carefully dropping her money in the box. What is this juxtaposed to? What is this contrasted with? A poor widow compared to the rich people. Let's go back to the beginning of the verse. When Jesus was in the temple was a place of worship. When Jesus was in the temple, where did Jesus sit? What does it say? When Jesus was in the temple, he watched the rich people dropping their gifts in the collection box. Jesus did what? It's not meant as a trick question. Jesus did what? He watched. Jesus watched what it was that people were bringing to this place of worship. And then he called his friends together. It's recorded also in Mark chapter 12. Slightly different wording and information, but here Jesus calls his followers together and he says, you see that woman there? She just gave more And the translation that I've chosen here, it tries to bring out the Greek better than some other translations. But Jesus actually says, this woman gave more than everyone else, not just someone else who gave more money, but she gave more than everyone else that had given. How can that be? What is of more value? A whole load of cash or a couple of coins? See, it makes me realize that God may be watching the unnoticed worshiper, but God isn't worried or concerned or interested in the quantity of cash, the quantity of time, but God is interested in the percentage. How much of a percentage of me and my life, of my time and service to God, as well as my finances, how much of a percentage do I give to God? I want to turn your attention to another little story. We'll find it in Acts chapter 5. You see, this comes amidst a sequence of bits of information that we can get of what happened when Jesus ascended and the fellowship of believers, they were coming together and they were looking out for each other. They were serving each other. And where there was someone that had need, then guess what happened? Has anyone heard of this before? Guess what would happen? Someone would sell something that they have in order to make sure that someone else didn't go without. It's kind of like church socialism, isn't it? But here we have a story of... In Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira. I won't read the whole story, and I want to keep your attention, so I don't want to speak too long. But I do want to share this point of reflection with you, that I think God is more interested in our percentage rather than the quantity. Because it's all about our ability to give. And as I shared with the younger children, when we put God first in our lives, other things do seem to fit together. You see, Ananias and Sapphira, they kind of went along with this idea of giving to God and giving to others. And they had a bit of property and there was a need, so guess what Ananias and Sapphira did? They put it out for sale. And I suppose they got a reasonable price for it. And the usual custom was to bring the money that you got from the sale of that property and you put it in the pot, just like this widow. Giving all that she had. It's just that, what did Ananias and Sapphira do? £100. Let's just... okay, darling, how about if we give them £80 and we keep back 20? So Ananias comes along and he presents himself to the fellowship of believers there and he says, look, I know that there's a need and my wife and I, we've sold a bit of land and here's the money. Do you know what happened next? It says, then Peter said, Ananias, why have you let Satan fill your heart? You lied to the Holy Spirit and you kept some of your money for yourself. The property was yours to sell or not sell as you wished. And after selling it, the money was also yours to give away. How could you do a thing like this? You weren't lying to us, but to God. You see, what was being pointed out was Ananias and Sapphira gave because they wanted to look good. But God knew their real reason. God knew that they weren't giving everything they had. They weren't putting God first. They were keeping a little bit back. You know what happened to Ananias? He dropped dead. And it kind of seems strange in the story, but it's somewhat linked to the tradition of the time. But the people took his body away, and just a few hours later, his wife appeared. And she seemingly didn't know that her husband had just died. So guess what she does? About 3 hours later, it says, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter asked her, was this the price you and your husband received for your land? Yes, she replied, that was the price. So that was the start of her undoing. Kind of making out as though I give everything I have to God. But the reality was, she was keeping a bit back for herself. And Peter said, how could the two of you even think of conspiring to test the Spirit of the Lord like this? God had noticed. He sees everything. And God notices what we do in our lives too. But we may not come into the temple, come to church, and we may not want everyone to see what we put in the offering plate, and sometimes with these little basket things, we can kind of slip in whatever we want or pretend to. And I'm not going to hammer on about the fact that we do actually, and this is the true bit, we do actually need a greater income for our offerings, for our church budget expense, because that is running low. We are way short every week. But I'm not speaking to you because of that. It's just this happens to fall in the sequence of the un-something worshipper. But in reading this story, realizing that Jesus is there, Jesus notices everything I do. Am I like these rich people? Not that I'm rich, but do I give of myself my time, my finances? Do I give a tiny bit of the surplus that's left over? Like with the kid's story, do I try and cram in God at the end? See what's left? Or maybe what Jesus is really looking for is for me to put him first in everything. To give God everything of myself and watch God's miracle of making everything fit and come together. If that's the case, if that's what an unnoticed worshipper is, someone who gives everything, do you want to be an unnoticed worshipper? consider what it is to be an unnoticed worshipper, we realize that the reality is you notice. You notice what we give. You notice what we keep back. Lord, as we reflect on our week, we recognize that maybe there are times where we have kept something back, where we have been hesitant in sharing our faith, where we've not wanted to commit in our time or even our finances, that we do as those others did. We give a tiny bit of the surplus rather than giving all of ourselves. Lord, forgive us. May it be our resolve as we leave this place of worship to renew a commitment to you. May your presence be with us and prompt us to look at our lives to see what it is to give of our whole selves. That from now on, every day, it will be our purpose, and our kids and others will see in us that as we put you first in everything, that we will see this miracle of everything else just coming together. So, Lord, we ask for your forgiveness for our hesitancy. We ask for your continued provision as we give to you and others. In your name we pray.